Welcome to another riveting episode of The Bald and the Beautiful featuring Trix Mattel and Katya. Hi, I'm Katya, and we're so happy to welcome you back to another episode of The Pod. Yes, we're blessed. We're blessed to have you join us here on this recording on a Sunday night here remotely. Where are you reporting live from?
I'm in sunny West Hollywood, California, where the weather is sunny, although it is nighttime.
Yeah, it's I'm in Palm Springs. It's also nighttime.
What's the temp? What you got there temperature-wise?
It's chilly. As soon as the sun goes behind the mountains over here,
it's Palm Springs chilly. We got a crisp and cool 53.0 Fahrenheit.
Let's see. The people have a right to know after us recording this what the weather is in a city they don't
live. I want to know what 53 is in Celsius. Let's check it out.
I have so many cities scheduled like oh, it's 67.
67. Oh my God. Hot.
Oh my God. I know. I stepped out to go for a little walk, and as soon as the sun went down, I was like, I'm going home.
Yeah. I was just in Palm Springs. Can we talk about that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's address the elephant. Let's address the situation. Let's open up the notes app.
Okay.
Let's start the apology video.
You got COVID, bitch. COVID Smith McPhee.
I know, and I did something brave that no celebrity's ever done, which is not tell people on the internet.
I did it.
Because, you know, I think that's, yeah, I wasn't going to say anything, but now you said it.
Well, listen.
So now we're here.
My favorite, this Russian singer that I follow, she posted just the test result from the thingy, and I thought it was a pregnancy test because I couldn't read the Russian. I had to translate it. And I was like, she's pregnant. My God, she's 39. That's great. No, it was just positive for COVID. And then she was apologizing for canceling.
She's 39. You should have been like, at that age, it can be really dangerous to carry. You should have said, you should try to help.
We were born in the same year and we're the same height. I'm just saying. Also.
So you think that you could get pregnant too?
Oh, I know. I know I could. I would do a surrogate, whatever. Not to change the subject or to go back to your illness, but Svetlana Lebedaher, Kirsten Dunst, and she was born the day before me, and Jamie Dornan, 50 Shades of Grey, Barb and Star, Belfast.
I don't know who that is.
Northern Irish hunk, actor, model, lovely, same age as me.
Oh,
same exact age. Yes. Same exact age, May 1st, 1982. Why do I look 70, wow. David? David, I look 70.
Girl.
Put me in a walker.
I can't even discuss it. I can't even discuss it. Because I haven't done drag in like 9 days, I have this like little
I can't even situation. Say, your situation is very pixelated. So the three chin hairs you've grown in, I can't even see them.
Well, it's funny how minimal facial hair I have to get for people who are attracted to men to treat me completely differently. It's made me think, is anybody hot or do they just have hair on their face?
No. No. Case in point.
I get literally Mel Gibson and Symes a couple crop circles.
and people are like, oh, you've got
good.
A dick.
Slide in the DMs. Bitch, Violet and Got Meek called me from the UK tonight. They called me at like, by the way, 6 p.m., which is probably
4 a.m.
3 a.m. Yeah. there. So they were a little
Tarantino.
Turnt at the game. Tarantino. And Violet was like, oh my God, why are you hot? Why are you hot? Like interrogating me. Why are you hot? Which is like, you know. And then she's like, I just can't look at your face anymore. I'm getting horny. And then she hung up.
Oh, that's weird. I was like, maybe that could have been a read, but also that sounds like her dating tactic. Like her.
It's always a read because it's never, you look great.
No, it's like, it's why?
Why
it's
do you look good
head.
For once? Why am I attracted to you? You're supposed to be fucking silly putty with googly eyes, you bald fat bitch. And anytime anybody remotely doesn't wince when they see me, they're like, why am I feeling this way? Why do you look good? It's so rude. It makes me feel so horrible.
That's so funny. It is so – because when you are a public figure, celebrity, whatever, who's not known for their sex appeal, let's say.
yes.
But and you are like middle of the road, like – Those kind of backhanded compliments like pop up all the time when you get a picture of yourself that looks really good. It's like, why am I attracted to this? Wow. Like, it's like,
why do I feel this so subtly?
I don't know. I guess I'm attracted to
shit. It's against
now,
all odds, really. There's no,
Yeah. Why am I jerking off to a pile of turds? Yeah. Well, anyways, so that's good for you and your chin hairs. So you got COVID, and I didn't.
And I don't want to give away too much, but I got COVID at a very inopportune time.
Probably, I would say it's like the comic timing is almost, it's past absurd. It's past like slapstick. It's almost like, it's almost like, I don't know. It's like some kind of like biblical.
Girl.
Biblical.
It was almost, to be honest, I cried a little bit. I can't say what I missed, or I can't say what I was sick for, but I was sick at a time where I really needed to be somewhere and I couldn't.
Like the Oscars. And like you were nominated for an Academy Award.
It was the 2012 Oscars.
Yeah. You were nominated for an Academy Award, front runner, and you won, but you got COVID and couldn't go.
I know. So I'm waking up. I thought it was allergies. Usually in Palm Springs, it's getting warm here. And usually when it gets warm, I start getting sniffles.
When it gets warm there,
the
year.
The allergies.
Oh my God, the dander, the pollen.
So I wake up, I put on my running outfit. I'm ready to go for my little run. I'm stepping out. I get a call from the nurse and she says, your test is positive. And I go, what? And I have to
call.
You're
like, for HIV?
All the people.
I wish.
I don't wish.
Yeah, I would have.
In that moment, that would have affected me less.
Yeah, I know.
I would have gone for pregnancy, anything. Because this was the thing that would keep me from doing what I had to do that day, which fucking sucked. Yeah. And I hate to be vague.
Yeah.
Vague. Hate to be vague. But,
you can't just say what
you want. But you know what? You and I had just filmed a few days beforehand.
I
fully breathed in your face.
Breathed in my face.
I guess you didn't get
fingered
it.
Fingered my pussy with
blood transfusion.
Spit in the hand. Yeah. And we filmed together. We were in the same airspace hanging out for a good while. So I was like, oh, I definitely have it. Eden has it. There's no chance. There's no question. And then go take a rapid when I got home, which, you know, that's like,
kind of meaningless.
I'm sorry. It's unreliable. Like, I had a rapid that quickly too. You know what I mean? That quickly it's unreliable. So then I got a PCR a couple days later, negative. I think technically perhaps there's still a chance, but
so random. I mean, I'm on a set every day where everyone gets tested every day. Yeah. And then not even my boyfriend, who I sleep face to face with every night, got it.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Random.
Did you lick and suck on his face like a kiss? Did you kiss him like kissy kissy?
We literally had unprotected anal sex days beforehand. No COVID.
Oh, I know what happened.
Did I say anal? I meant oral. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, it was anal, oral, and kissing on the mouth.
When you say unprotected.
You know what he said in the middle? He said, why are you hot? Why are you hot right now?
What
why am I
fuck?
Attracted to you?
Has hell become an ice skating rink? This is fucking crazy. Yeah.
In what universe would anyone ever have any feelings for you, you disgusting bitch? You should kill yourself.
Wait a minute. Water's wet. You're ugly. What's going on?
Yeah. Okay. I don't want to you know what? Whatever. We all have feelings about ourselves. And,
do we? I don't.
I sometimes don't feel great about myself. But recently there's a couple TikTokers who do kind of look like me. I look like them a little bit.
Yeah.
It's not just being white and bald, but we kind of look alike. Mm. Enough to where when they make their TikToks that say, people are constantly saying you look like at Trix and Mattel.
Yeah.
And then I made the mistake of looking at the comments.
Oh no, don't you ever. Don't you ever, ever.
So their TikTok is like, you guys say I look like Trixie. The comments are
they're nasty.
I was never meant to see these comments. It was like, they're like, you look like Trixie if she got a completely face work done and started working out. No, you do not. You're way hotter. It's like these people are way hotter. And so that doesn't really bother me. But I was like, I should have never.
No, that's why you never, ever, ever do it. The only one I've got, which is actually, I'm going to show you a picture. It's, are you familiar with Brian Eno?
If you pull up.
No, Brian Eno.
Oh my God.
No.
Oh, I thought you were going to pull up like a.
No, no.
Oh, you 100% look like this person.
Yeah, Brian Eno in the 70s. Yeah. And so now I know how I look like when I get older, you know, God willing.
He looks great in that picture.
And he looks great now. Like, this is him. I believe that's him.
Is he a model?
I'm going to be him. Sorry, I can't say.
Is he a model?
No, he's a musician. He's very, very like electronic musician, really
He's gorgeous.
And, yeah, like ambient, known for his ambient masterpieces. Anyways.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I forget what story I was telling. Okay, so then I get sick, and then I've been in this room at the Margaritaville in Palm Springs for since about 9 a.m.
Like
last
a
Saturday,
cheeseburger so in paradise. Waiting down a river.
I'm like a hurricane relief victim. Oh. Look what Brandon's so afraid of getting COVID. He knocked on my door, and when I opened it, these were sitting outside.
Oh my God!
Because he's so. So tomorrow I have a test. Tomorrow I have a test, and if I test negative, I'm cool to, I guess, continue living. But if I test positive, I have to cancel my college gig on Tuesday.
Oh, fuck,
which is in 2 days.
Mama, fuck that shit. Don't worry about it. This
will be my second time canceling because the last time I had a COVID scare last time.
Well, we're in a global pandemic. This is a global pandemic, so, you know.
I know, but because so many people make money off of me going to work that day.
Oh, I know.
I felt bad for how many problems it created for everyone else.
That's what I was feeling
it's
like.
It's not me staying home from my, you know,
it's not a snow day.
Yeah, or if I still worked at a restaurant or something like that, I would be like, okay, well, I lose the money, but whatever. Right. This is more like
you own the restaurant.
It costs.
Yeah.
I don't want to be gauche, but the tens of thousands of dollars because of this is not, it's not the fantasy.
All right, Lehman Brothers, let's go.
It's not the fantasy. Yeah. Well, I never know if we're supposed to acknowledge that we make good money, or is it more gauche to pretend like you are more comfortable than probably a lot of people?
It's not gauche to acknowledge it. It's how we describe it. And because it's all relative, like when you use words like good, when you use words like rich, comfortable, those don't mean anything necessarily, because ask somebody who lives on Park Avenue, comfortable is having
exactly. You know what I mean? And by the way, by drag queen standards,
well, that's
I was comfortable when I was making $400 or $500 a week. I felt
rich.
You do.
So like, yeah. If I had more than $1,000, I was telling, I forget who, this lovely porn person. I was at a party the other night. I'll tell you that in a minute. But, I was like, when I had $10,000 in one place in cash, like in the bank, I felt absolutely rich. Rich.
Yeah, really. Yeah. I mean, 100%. I remember right after college, I forget why, but I came into $2,000, and I remember seeing $2,000 in my bank account being like,
yeah, ballin'.
I could quit working.
And be okay for
Well, my rent. When I first did Drag Race, my rent was $400 a month. I had two roommates. It was $400 each, $1,200. And I remember booking my first gig that was a $1,200 pay and being like, can I work four times a year? I remember being like, well,
my first apartment was $250 a month.
No, that's my last. Well, yeah, I had one that was $285.
What did
when
you
I
have
think
to
back
do?
Of how small it was.
Yeah.
Three of us lived in a furnished attic with like this tall ceiling.
Wow.
Ceilings were here. And I remember
flowers in the attic.
$285 a month. And I loved it. I would rather live in squalor and like comfortably make my rent. Do you know what I mean? I was always like, as long as I can in a weekend make my rent and not have to worry, I'm fine having like small space, you know.
Yeah.
I slept on a mattress on the floor, whatever.
You know what I don't like? I hate it when people shame people for not having a bed frame. As a person who did not have a bed frame for many years.
I don't want to be gross. I slept on a futon mattress on the floor until I was probably 25 years old.
That's not gross. It's
until
just...
I think Drag Race was the reason I first got like a real bed.
Yeah. Drag Race, she gives.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
But anyway, I just you're in Margaritaville.
She gives and she ate.
So I went at the Margarita before. And I'm not a TV or movie watcher really. Uh-huh. I've never seen so much TV or film as I have in the last 8 days.
Yeah.
I've watched both Suicide Squad movies, Birds of Prey, all three of those, all three Batmans,
The Dark Knight trilogy.
Dark Knight Rises and Batman Begins. I've never seen any of them really.
Get into it.
Okay, they were good. A little serious and a little long.
Oh, they're grim and protracted. Yes. There's not nary a joke. Nary a lighthearted moment.
No,
nary a lighthearted moment. Yeah.
David Silver, his first job on a movie was Batman Begins, and he's a PA on that movie. And so I watched it to see his name in the credits. Like, he's like a production assistant, David Silver.
Awesome.
But I was like, 30 minutes in, I was like, this is really serious. He's like, yeah. And I'm like, it feels like it hasn't really even started yet. He's like, no, it hasn't. Yeah. I was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Those movies are also like 2.5 hours or something.
Christopher Nolan loves a 3-hour jaunt. Like, I watched Interstellar. I had to do it in 3 days. Matthew McConaughey, flying through a black hole. I was like, it was crazy.
Yes. That's how I feel in every long movie. I feel like that Judge Judy meme of her life.
Yes, that's exactly. Yeah. At the theater. Yes,
always.
Think about people at the theater.
At the theater.
Because I don't leave the seat.
Girl, and they got you. Once you're in the theater too, they got you.
Oh, yeah. I don't leave. If I'm leaving the seat, I'm leaving the theater. Please, I don't leave to go to the bathroom.
I'll pee my pants before I get up.
I will soak that movie theater chair.
It was kind of a Margot Robbie marathon too, because I watched I, Tonya again.
Oh, love. God.
I'll never get sick of that movie. I've seen it probably 10 times.
I love her. I love her face. I love her body. I love her mind. I love her everything she says. I love everything she does. I love her feet. Everything about her.
You know what's brave about her? And I talked about this on the Substack this week. What? She's Margot Robbie. Beautiful, cultured, well-spoken, perfect everything. Mm. Yet she makes a living being not Margot Robbie. If I looked like Margot Robbie, I'd be like, I'm cool. Staying in this persona. Yeah. Thank you all.
Yeah. Honey.
I'm cool being Margot Robbie.
Perfect. Don't need a tune-up.
Right.
Yeah. No.
You and I, thank God we're cross-dressing. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. That's my future. You see her?
Girl. Show them.
Oh.
Actually, anybody who follows you has probably seen it on your Instagram recently.
Oh, my new one.
My boyfriend texted me, what is that face?
My new one. So the one I did I show you did I show you?
I didn't show you. Is this new merch? Are you wearing new merch?
Oh, yeah. Is this cute?
Oh, that's so cool.
I love it. Luke Marsh did it.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, he did a great job, Luke Marsh. I had copious notes and it took a long time to edit. But did I show you my new like plastic surgery face thing? I'll do it for the second pod because it's so sweaty and gross. But
So I watched I, Tonya. Both Birds of Prey, or the Birds of Prey, both Suicide Squads is.
Yeah. Did you like?
Did you see Suicide Squads?
I saw the second one.
The second one's unbelievable.
The second one, fabulous,
so good.
That the scene where she busts through the police station with all the confetti and the flowers, I was like, love.
I just heard a kid running down the hallway.
Oh, when I,
well, I just
that
watched a documentary with Lisa Ling about sexual predators. What? I never knew what happens to sexual predators where they have to live to not be by children. I didn't really know about that.
Like,
they have maps with bubbles of like, well, you have to get an apartment here because you can't go over here.
Pariah, social pariah. And get this is not, I listen,
I'm not defending pedos in any way, of course, but I had a friend who got turned Tina and was pissing outside, happened to be by school at night. He got nabbed, got indecent exposure in a school zone, sex offender. Well, I mean, he was pissing in the mouth of a child, but it was, you know, it was just like, no, it's a whole different conversation. Let's keep it light. Loved it. Yeah, let's keep it light.
Well, no, I just think after watching the Lisa Ling documentary, which is about the extent of my knowledge, I do feel that it's probably a form of, you know, mental unwellness. And
it's maladaptive behavior that is.
It's a mental. Yeah.
Mental illness.
It's a mental illness that the system doesn't seem interested in
rehabilitating
with as much as like,
yeah,
go over there.
Also,
don't come over. You know what I mean?
Yes, they do. And that is also indicative of the general attitude towards mental illness in general. Like, it's like, well, right. Just, you know,
and
put him
of course
in jail.
The victim too. I'm like, well, a lot of the molesters were victims themselves. So yeah. Then it's like, well, that also tells you that the victim doesn't get help. And then they become a, you know, offender. So,
yeah,
it's like
perpetuating cycle.
Cyclical and crazy.
Did you see
there's
Spotlight?
No, there's no right answer.
Speaking of light fare, did you see Spotlight, Mary?
No. Okay. What is it?
It's a documentary, or it's a drama based on the whole Boston Church scandal early 2000. Amy Adams, Michael Keaton, Mark Ruffalo, fucking riveting. And I was there, living in there while it all shake down. Mama, she knocked on the door of a priest.
To fuck them kids.
She knocked on the door of a priest and to interview a journalist, and she said, "Hi, I'm just, you know, wondering about these allegations of you. You know, did you go?" He's like, "Yeah, I touched the kids." And she was like, "What?" Like, she couldn't believe that he admitted it right out. He's like, "Yeah, but it happened to me. You know, it was just, I didn't enjoy it. I don't enjoy it, but it's, you know, it just happened to me." He was like this really crazy, like frank. And it was just so fucking crazy. That movie fucking up.
Well, it makes you wonder. And then did you watch the documentary about the archdiocese in Baltimore?
Oh no, I didn't see
where they
the
would
Baltimore
catch the, they would catch the person fucking the kids, and then they would move them to another church.
Yeah, that's what they did with, yeah, that's what Boston too.
And then they would just move around to different zip codes and fuck all them kids.
And the Pope knows, and all the
tax free, tax free.
Get into this. Someone told me, and this is just hearsay. This is all gossip. The clergy bitch in Italy, honey,
they turn the kids out.
Parties. Cardinals.
Sex partina,
P&P with the Lord. Yeah, it's like crazy. P&P with the Holy Spirit.
Do you know what okay, here it's P&P. Did I tell you what they call P&P in the UK?
Oh, it's
Heitch and Heitch.
Oh, high and horny. High and horny.
Heitch and Heitch.
But no HIV.
also not can you host? Can you
accommodate? I love that.
So formal.
I love that. Can accom. I was like, accom? What the fuck is that? Yeah, accommodate.
Can you accommodate? I'm like,
can you accommodate some H and H? H R H.
I also was, you know, I love YouTube is my first love. I don't really watch a lot of television, but I watch a lot of YouTube. Yeah. And I was catching up on clips of Celebrity Big Brother, where some of our friends are currently on it. Carson Kressley, Todrick Hall.
Mama.
So before
something,
I don't watch it, but
should
I'll
not
just say this.
Said whilst being recorded.
I would never do that. I don't think that is an easy gig. I think you want to talk trauma. I think people could really bring their trauma in, lash out on television, and leave with more trauma doing that.
Of course. Hello. Tell it to someone who knows me.
But at least on Drag Race or whatever, there's like structure,
there's
competition.
There's
something
show.
To do. They're just in there boiling until they snap on each other.
Yeah, they're raw shrimp in a pot.
Can I ask a dumb question? Do the other religions fuck kids? Do they like their priests and stuff fuck kids?
I don't know. I know there is abuse even within Buddhism. You know, who you would kind of. You would assume perhaps that maybe there's nothing wrong, you know, nothing weird's going on there. Of course there is. I think get any group of men together and give them any power, there's something going wrong. But like, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what the statistics are, because that religion, Catholicism in particular, is set up for denial, secrets, you know what I mean? It's like, it creates this like
judgment,
celibacy.
Gossip.
And yeah, like it's just, it creates, it's such a perfect environment for, to groom and abuse people. Horrible.
Plus the upper crusts of these religions are all men, and 99% of men or 99% of rapists are men.
Yeah. And why can't, like, there's so many Christian denominations that allow people to marry. Rabbis can marry, right? And they can be men and women.
Yeah.
And have kids. Like, marry, get a grip.
I always feel bad for, I get, of course, I don't like religious things, but I feel bad for people who are in religions, because I know a lot of times they're raised that way, or like,
yeah.
Like, do you know how many Scientologists are like raised Scientologists? A lot of them. And then it's like,
of course.
We can all shit on some actress who like becomes Scientologist, but what about the ones who grew up Scientologists? It's like, well, what else? They don't know anybody else. They don't know anything else.
I know. I mean, my friend grew up Jehovah's Witness, and he had to escape. But that's a cult. Yeah. But a lot of people,
Jehovah's isn't on another level. I had a gay friend in Milwaukee who came out at 30, and he just had this, never talked to his family ever again, basically.
Yeah. It's so crazy. I left Catholicism in a very
but it was a runaway bride situation. It was in the middle of your wedding.
Yeah.
And you, at the altar, you said, and you ran.
Yeah. And I ran. I ripped off my wedding gown halfway down the aisle. And people were like, are you sure? You're so sexy. I'll marry you. And I said, no.
Well, you were kind of doing like Jennifer Lopez. You were like,
marry
you're
me,
like,
you, marry me.
Will you marry me?
And like, no.
Wow. And then you got married. Yeah.
Wow. A drag queen. I guess I'll marry you. But I'm not going from 8 to 3. I tried to watch Marry Me, Bitch. And it's, let's just say, wait,
you know
no. There's this hysterical part that you would cackle at. One, first of all, Sarah Silverman was actually really great in it, and
she's great in everything.
So, Jennifer Lopez, they're reclining at home, nobody's around, it's a private moment, just her and she and Owen Wilson, and she goes to do this, and I'm like, instinctually, like, she's gonna take off a wig. She pulls off a track, literally this, and like takes off a track.
Do they think that? I mean, people.
This is de-dragging.
Was this supposed to be funny?
Well, they made this weird joke, and then he was like, stepped on it, like it was a bug. I don't know what the hell they were trying to do, but it's like, why would you take off one track? Oh, I was like, oh god, that track was killing me. Now I can relax. Meanwhile, she's a full drag beat on and in a crisp white linen. It's like crazy.
Anyways. She does look perfect, but she does wear a lot of makeup, which I love.
And get this, though. This is the ultimate fucking gag. Want to talk about bald and beautiful. She's the same age as Sarah fucking Silverman. Sarah Silverman is 50 fucking 2, I believe. Ageless.
I love Sarah Silverman.
Me too.
If nobody listens to the Sarah Silverman podcast, who listens to this, you should.
I'm just going
to
check.
She talks to herself on that podcast, and she's so interesting and funny.
She's great.
I just love her.
She's 51.
Jesus is magic.
Love. Yeah, I love it. The Sarah Silverman program, I loved. I gobbled it up. So great.
Sarah Silverman program.
Yeah.
I love her.
I saw her with your boyfriend at Largo, and it was such a great fucking show. So
that's right. Oh, that was the show where she said, do you believe in God? And the guy was like, yeah. Would you let God come in your mouth?
I was shocked. He said no. And I was like, you're not a real Christian then. Mama, if I believe in God and Jesus, I would guzzle down the fucking ropey, nasty fucking amber stone
flake
jizz.
Girl.
Chunky cum all in my mouth. And in my, girl.
Speaking of, like, now that I have these antibodies, girl, I will be spread open in an intersection and just on Hollywood Boulevard. I'm going to have so many fucking dicks and cocks in my mouth, my eye sockets. I'm going to cut holes in my stomach and let people fuck like a... just anywhere.
You should just start antibiotics right now. Just the preemptive. Anywhere. Oh, can I tell you that I... speaking of sex, I didn't have it. However... Oh, well, I didn't have it, but let me ask you this.
Great story.
No, listen, let me ask you this though. So there was, I was hanging outside my studio, smoking a butt, whatever. And this boy comes along and he's this white dude, probably in his like late 20s, I don't know. And he was with an older gentleman, maybe in his 40s, clearly gay. And he does like a stop, double take. And then he's like, wait a minute, Katya? And he recognizes me and he comes and approaches me and says hi. And we chit chat. And he's the whole time he's like this. He's like, he like kind of can't believe it's me. Like he's like kind of visibly like, and he says it. It's not awkward because he's very cute. And I'm just sitting there smoking. I'm like, I don't really know what to say. I'm kind of tired. And then
he's outside your house?
Outside the studio on the sidewalk.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, you know, da 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 da. We chit chat, chit chat, chit chat. And I'm like, I should have said, you're very attractive. What's your Instagram?
He was with the older man. Were they together or no?
I don't know. I should have asked. I'm asking you. Should I ask, like, hey, what's your Instagram? Because he probably follows me and I'll just follow him back. And then that's where I could start a potential romantic overture or whatever. Do you think that would be the most appropriate?
Okay. The friend, like, PC answer here is like, girl, go.
No, I don't want that.
But the real tea is, are you okay with fucking someone who might only fuck you because you're a famous person?
Well, here's the thing. When I noticed the can, the booty, I said maybe.
Then you didn't care. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Because he probably is, it sounds like based on what you're saying that he's out of your league. Other than he likes your work, so then he is attracted to you, which does
happen. On my best day, absolutely. On my best day, like me looking my best, I wouldn't say that he's too far out of my league. Perhaps maybe like a notch or two, like a number above. No.
Okay.
It's all relative, you know.
How old is he though?
I would guesstimate him at around 27, 28.
You think that you're one number below somebody who's 10 years younger than you?
Wisdom,
is that what
mama,
you think?
Does wisdom not factor into this?
Wisdom. Which wig do you name Wisdom? Wisdom.
This is the wisdom that man that I can whiz out. I don't know.
I
don't want to manipulate them in the moment because I know that they're starstruck. You can get away with anything, kinda. And also, I didn't know if that was his boyfriend or his daddy.
I don't know. I don't know if starstruck. What is starstruck?
Like, no, star stunned.
Being attracted to your energy because he likes your sense of humor and likes your work doesn't mean if you sleep with him, you're a rapist.
But I'm just saying that all the situations where it's been soft, sisters of flaccid trade, limb, you know, like those kind of, those moments have all occurred because I've been my like direct, perhaps, on the spectrum type of dating, like pickup style. And I think that they are too, they're not in their right mind in a way because they're like, they wouldn't honestly tell me how they felt. Do you know what I mean?
Like, can I ask, when you have these uncomfortable pickup moments, which
I'm not uncomfortable, but.
Well, the way you sort of cut to the feeling, as the pop stars would say, is it because it's easier to be wantonly bizarre about it than it is to be earnest and actually try to shoot your shot eloquently?
I'm not sure because I don't,
is it weird for you to go like talking to him and go, oh yeah, and then like try to do it with like body language and eye contact? Or does it only work for you if you go, I would like to have sex with you? Do you know what I mean?
I mean, that's just the most direct approach I've found.
One is definitely direct. One has like a finesse though that allows sort of a courting, which then lets you like mutually get interested.
Yeah. Which I think, like, but here's the thing, it's one-sided. He knows he's interested in me. He finds me interesting. I want to know, does he want to fuck me?
Sexually?
No.
Okay, yeah.
I want to fuck him. I don't know if he's interesting though. You know what I mean?
You could, if he's not interested in you, but you still are okay with having him as a friend, then maybe it's worth trying to like
I got plenty of friends, lovely friends, a Rolodex.
Yeah, that's what that girl. Look, I mean,
right
that's
there,
when somebody
her?
Says to
you
me,
see her right there. She's not friendly, but she's my friend.
That's liberty or whatever. Wisdom. That's wisdom.
The wisdom. That's liberty. That's chastity right behind.
That's wisdom. Yeah. When somebody says to me, when I try to like come on to someone and they're like, yeah, or we can just hang out, it's a wrap. I don't need, I have like 2.5 friends and I don't even like them. No. Like, I'm cool.
You're like, hang out with you. Is it paid? Summer. Is it paid?
Well, I also have a partner. So I'm like, no, we're not going to get fucking dinner or some shit. No.
Yeah, no.
I don't need to giggle and like, nah. Like, no, we don't. It's
I'm not a giggler.
I'm cool.
I'm not a giggler. I'm not here to giggle.
I don't need to put on my petticoat and sort of like my sponge rollers the night before. Like, I don't want to go through all that.
We could go to brunch.
But you know what? I wish you would have said like, this is actually my studio. And then you could have maybe invited him inside and tried to start a conversation.
Are you fucking out of your mind? Invite a drag fan into my studio? I'll never get him out. Like, that would be the opposite of sexy too. He'd be like, "Want to try on a wig?" And then I'm gonna just kill him. Do you know what I mean?
Well, if you sleep with a fan, they also don't leave usually. I don't know if you know that.
Oh no, they leave. I'll push them right out the door.
You try to kick them out.
Yeah, absolutely.
You just shine some daylight on yourself, and they scatter like roaches.
Yeah,
I'm like,
I pull the curtains, and they're like, ah, they just run.
Yeah.
But wait, I have to. I want to talk about my Bjork story. I don't know if we have time. Can I tell my Bjork story?
Yeah. So, yes.
Okay. So, it must have been a couple weeks ago. I went to see Bjork at a theater downtown. Lovely theater. Hungry, the makeup artist, you know, Hungry. She got us free tickets.
Yes, we just had her on the channel. And I was like, what are you doing here? And she was like, I'm doing makeup for Bjork.
Mary, what'd she do on your channel? I guess I'll find out.
We got ready together and I had to tell her, I said, I love you. I think your art is amazing. I said, we can't be here longer than 3 hours. No. We can't be filming for longer than 3 hours. Cause I've heard that she takes a long time and I was like, we can't be doing all that.
Well, she's not doing enough.
I can't hand my editor 4 hours of footage to edit or I'll be shot.
Yeah. Also, I would fall asleep.
But yeah, she looked great. The look was great. So how was the show?
The fucking show was phenomenal. I was worried. I was like, oh God, you know, it's going to be a stand-up thing. I don't like to stand up. I haven't been to a music concert forever. From start to finish, bitch, this motherfucking show was like perfect, exquisite, show-stopping. And to be perfectly honest, I have not even listened to her last like few albums, but I'm a huge fan. The staging, the production, the video elements, off the chain. It was just off the chain. I can't go on and on and on and on and on. Started out with a local choir from LA. These a bunch of people, for say 20 of them. Immediately I start crying.
And like, really?
Yeah, immediately start crying because it's very moving. And it's
was like it beautiful?
Beautiful. And then Bjork, of course, is wearing a crazy dress, but she's got her tits pulled up, very sexy, because sometimes she wears like just like a cocoon or whatever. And she was amazing. And then I'm going to cut to the real chase. Yeah. So concert was amazing. Loved it. Perfect fucking length. And I didn't get bored. My attention didn't waver for a fucking millisecond. That's never happened since like 96 or whatever. And like, so.
Was her voice really cool in real life, her singing?
Yes. It was great. And wow. They had a hula hoop flute that was played by 4 people. They had like a septet of flutists from Iceland who were fucking fierce. They were battling flutes. It was like, they had a guy playing the water bowl.
Have you ever seen the Bjork Unplugged, MTV Unplugged?
I don't know.
It's her singing surrounded by, I'm not kidding, at least 100 world music instruments. Mm-hmm. Drums, bones,
bones,
and just going in.
Yeah, they had a fish.
And people love it. It's so great.
She was great. It's great. I honestly recognized like the songs. I know all the words. I've listened to them forever, but half of the material I wasn't familiar with. It didn't matter. It was just so gorgeous. Everything together was just like fucking stunning. And there was this little pussy palace, a cocoon where she would go in. And it was just like, anyways. So at the end of the show, Hungry had said, stick around because, there's maybe an after party where you can meet Bjork. And I was like, okay. And so we stuck around and the plans were shifting. And I was like, we should just leave. I don't want to be like weird. So we get in the car to go. And Hungry's like, I was like, sorry, I left. Please tell her I love her. He's like, what? You left? Come back. Bjork will be so sad. And I was like, okay. So I was like, we went right back. Girl, we went in there. We walked in there. I'm like, a heart's pumping. I meet her. We talk. She says the most wonderful things about me and you that is like, I mean, she said, you have no idea how much you and Trixie mean to me. I've watched every episode of Aunt. It got me through the pandemic. I'm like, it's fucked. And her daughter's a fan. I mean, it's a huge deal, like crazy. We hung out for like an hour. And I meet her, Jeremy Scott was there. It was just the most magical end cap to a most magical night. I was like shitting all over myself, feces on the floor, on the walls. It was incredible. She's so nice and beautiful.
I bet she's so gorgeous in person.
She is. And I was like, I'm all up in her grill and she's Janet from another planet. She's Janet from another planet.
She has such a great, beautiful voice. And yeah. I was doing some YouTube research on her, listening to her play in like bands she was in before she was a solo artist. And
yeah.
Her voice is just so commanding and beautiful and bananas. Yeah. And her hair and her face and eye shape.
Yeah.
Her eyebrows, like everything about the way her skin and structure works together. Yeah. You're like, are you a supermodel or a little girl? Skin.
She's an old little girl, crazy lady, alien lady, like a moss witch.
She I can't believe she watches.
She sure fucking does. And Drag Race, she knows. Like she is. And then I got a text the next day. A text
Did
message.
She texted you
from Bjork.
Wait, does she know that you did her on Drag Race?
Yeah, of course. During Drag Con, her daughter came to my line and then FaceTimed with me with her, and I almost shit. Yeah. She was like, I'm Bjork star. I was like, fuck you. No, you're not. And then she pulled up FaceTime with Bjork on it. And I like died. I was like,
I'm Bjork star. You're like, me too.
I literally was like, oh, fuck off. I was just like 17 years old. But yeah, it was
that
crazy.
Is so crazy.
I have to show, yeah. I don't know if it's like, I'm going to read it. But it's so funny.
So many celebrity style people watch. And I always just wonder how. I mean, I understand that it's free on YouTube and drag has a huge presence, but anytime it's not like, let's be honest, most of the people who watch our things are under a certain age.
But see, a great number of them are, but I don't know because.
But like, where does a literal cultural icon, is she stumbling through YouTube one day and she's like, this looks cool.
I think so. I think probably her daughter probably got like, you know, because they watch Drag Race and then
probably it.
You know what I mean? But I'm telling you, there's like, I have, and I Pete and Jeff and Ron need to know this, of course, which I told them, but like, that is, what a goddamn compliment.
It's such a compliment. Somebody with her mind and her vision.
Visionary,
and like,
innovative.
She even gets a chuckle out of us.
Yeah.
Makes my day.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And it's funny because I respect her so much. I don't love all of her music. And she's the kind of artist that I don't think you don't love all of it. You know what I mean? Because she's so experimental and she takes a lot of risks. She does a lot of weird shit. And like, but so that's what I'm just like, oh God, she has a music career that is so enviable, I think.
Her music changes shape and sound so often. It's not made. It's if you love one part of it, if you're like I'm here for Army of Me.
Yeah.
You won't really get that same song in a lot of other types of things.
Yeah. But I told her, I was like,
what's for the kids at home who are very young? Would it be Poppy maybe? Who's like their version of that? Poppy maybe?
Because really
it's like
kind
of industrial Poppy.
Know. I don't know, because Bjork really defied categorization in terms of genre, because like from the first three albums, there was there's a lot going on there.
I guess I think Poppy like more performance art and like she's a visual artist at the same time of being it.
Yeah.
My band, we were talking about looks for a, for something we're going to, we needed looks. Beep it out.
Incredible.
We were talking looks for that, and they like half not even joking were like, can we do Swan like Bjork dresses? And I was like, maybe, but not for this. But I do think three guys playing guitar and drums and stuff in Swan dresses is great,
that would be
but
funny.
Not for this.
Yeah, she actually got like...
Well, that is so crazy.
Yeah, it is super, super, super crazy. And
were you just glowing? Was your face like...
I was just like... And I was just like... I told her every... I mean, I just like... I said, I love you so much. And I told her, I was like... I did the fan thing. I was like, when I was 17 years old, I was listening to Come to Me from Debut and Blue Christmas Lights in my room, like pining over a boy for 3 days straight. And it's like, you know, and she's like... I mean, I've been listening to her since 95... And then probably listened from 95 to 2000, whatever. And I kind of dropped off it around like Volnicura, I think. But like, you know, it was so, that's it. I can't imagine anybody
ever having moments like that because.
Julia Roberts?
Between a artist and a fan interaction, 99% of the time, I would say you and I are on the artist side of it.
Yeah.
And so it's fun, not fun. It's humbling and reminding when I meet somebody where I can't even talk. And then I'm like, well, that's why people sometimes can't talk when they meet.
Absolutely.
It's a chain reaction of you meet someone and then you can't talk.
Yeah. And I'm like,
because Bjork could meet someone and be like, oh my God.
Well, I almost didn't even go. That's why how nervous I was. I was like, I didn't want to impose. I didn't want to be weird. I didn't want to be like the weirdo on the periphery. When Hungry marched me right over to her. She was talking to someone. She turned around. I was like, she's not going to recognize me. And she just smiled and was like, and I was like, oh.
Oh, wow.
It was crazy. And chatted with me for a long time.
We had, on my next record, maybe this is the, I don't think I've told anybody, but on my next record, I have a duet with Michelle Branch. And making a song with her was for me like...
Were you nervous?
I couldn't even connect. I just couldn't even connect that this is the person's the reason I started playing guitar when I was like 13. I'm making a song with that person. And I had to just like, how do I talk to this person and not make it weird?
Right.
You have to turn off the part of your brain that remembers. Like,
yeah. Because sometimes out of nervousness, they're too casual and chummy right away. It's like, no, but you can't, I don't know. It's tough. It's weird.
And it makes me empathetic to like, I mean, people meet on tour this year. People will meet us every single day. And meet and greets are scary. Ironically, I had a meet and greet with Michelle Branch in 2016. This is after Drag Race. I bought a meet and greet for Michelle Branch. One ticket front row in Anaheim at the House of Blues with meet and greet for me to go by myself.
What did you say to her?
I was going to go. I chickened out and didn't go.
You're kidding.
I didn't go. I got scared and didn't go. I was like, I can't do this. I want one homosexual weirdo in the front row being like, I came by myself to see you. I was just like, yes! You can't do that.
Oh, and you certainly can.
I still haven't told her that, like, one time I bought a ticket and didn't go.
You didn't?
No, because I'm trying to keep it casual.
Right.
Right. You just need to know that.
Yeah, you're like, hey, bitch.
What would you say when you meet a Bjork, or the next time you meet someone like that, what's your strategy going in? Do you say, I'm just going to say this and keep it moving?
Well, it depends on the context. Cause like I saw Grace Coddington on the street once. I went up to her, said something brilliant, and I ran, you know, like easy hit and run.
And you ran.
I did run hit and run, but it was like, you know, love and run.
Wow.
But I would, it depends on the context. Cause like if there's like an after party, if you have a few moments to chat, you know, it all depends, but like, I don't think there's anything wrong with saying, I love you so much. I have all the stuff you've done has affected me so great. I'm so glad you exist. It's something to that effect. That's a pretty good thing to hear, I feel like.
Or it's like in retail, they teach you to like, hi, I love your shoes. You like open with a compliment. Bjork probably likes her music too. So if you go, I love this music you do, then it's almost like you start on a common ground. Hey, we have this thing in common. You make this, I love this.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be like, if I say this, will they, or am I separate? Am I making myself like separated from you ever being my real friend? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. The one thing
go ahead.
She invited me to the next after party the night after the next show, and I didn't go.
Because I get that. Maybe you don't want to.
Do you know what
like,
I mean?
I'm back again.
It was at a fancy place in like the hills. It was at a house. This was at the venue. The first one was like in a bar at the venue, like when everybody left. This was like in a private room. I don't know. I just felt like I would get nervous going to that kind of party anyway. And it could have been amazing. It probably was because she and everybody in her entourage are so sweet. It's not like some not like a Madonna thing, you know, where you'd imagine everybody's like a cunt. I don't know. I just didn't want to push it. I wanted to have my memory, but I have her phone number.
I get it.
Yeah.
I just did that for Christmas. I did that fundraiser with,
Belinda Carlisle.
Oh my God. Belinda Carlisle. And I just was like, all right, we're just going to make it through this. And she already knew I was a super fan though. So it was like, okay. All right, she already knows I love her music, whatever. So yeah. You just won't mention it.
Yeah.
But we were rehearsing to go on and we were sitting in the office of the Abbey and we were playing Vacation. I was playing for her and she was sitting across from me singing. And I was like, I was drunk. Like the alcohol just hit. I was like, what is happening?
It's crazy.
Like, how are you sitting here looking me in the eye, singing this song while I play it?
Yeah.
But sometimes you just have to go, you just have to like,
yeah.
Nah.
Yeah.
Well, that was the Bald and the Beautiful. What a weird episode.
Yeah, but it was bald, and I think
I'm sorry beautiful. I started out negative. I'm sorry I started negative about my COVID and my body and my face. And
negative about.
But here we are.
You were negative, and yet you're positive.
Yeah. So. Hopefully not. My test is tomorrow, and if I wake up and it's positive, I have to call this college and say I can't come to my gig.
Sorry to this college.
Well, we'll find out in another college. Riveting episode. These are college kids. They have nothing to live for.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I'll see you in 2 weeks.